Hi everyone, you're listening to Like Her, the podcast that celebrates women doing fantastic things in the realms of beauty, fitness, wellness, and everything else in between. Like Her is a space for women to share their ideas, have honest conversations, and most importantly, have a good laugh. I'm Rosanna, and each episode I'll be speaking to an inspiring woman that will hopefully make you think, I like her. So on that note, get yourself comfy, get yourself a nice drink, and enjoy the episode. It's recording. Oh. Don't worry, it's fine. All of the funny bits are going to be
swear.
Welcome to the, yeah, we can, of course we can swear, this podcast wouldn't be what it is without swearing.
I know, I just like to double check how much. I'm effing and jeffing all the time,
I always have to click the contains explicit content, because otherwise it doesn't get passed by iTunes. Even if there's one like curse word, you have to like click it.
One damn curse word.
Damn word.
I mean, I've got fuck off on the back of my jumper, so.
And that's a good way to start it, I think.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the 12th episode of Like Her. This is the round table edition, which Larissa over here kindly came up with the idea. She sent me a message and said, Rosanna, can we do a round the table, like witches edition, where we just moan and bitch, basically.
My table's witches. Not round, is that
but
okay?
It's like, it's one of these...
Disappointing.
It's square-ish. Got like a square-ish. It's very scandic.
It's a pentagon.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
It's extendable.
Thank you so much.
And today I'm here with Elsa Burns, yoga teacher.
Hi.
Larissa Francis of Vibrancy.
They can't hear them.
Just dancing.
Just did a hand motion.
And we've got Hannah Jane Smith.
What up?
Hi. Sorry, I really don't sound like
that. this is going to be a bit of a trial, this podcast, because we're all very loud and we all speak at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
I hope it sounds all right. Some kind of harmony.
Yeah, we've got a few things that we want to get off our chest. The whole point of the podcast is basically to sum up summer. And as we're entering into autumn, maybe just round up what we've been feeling and thinking and what's been going on. We've got a checklist, but we talk a lot, so we might not get through it all. Mm. Who wants to start? We're also going to do a quick fire round, which...
Can you lead the subjects as our guru, and
we'll
follow
we'll
like good disciples.
Because I will get really anxious if I'm not in control.
Yeah. So you're our chair.
I know you will.
All right, I know the topic that we're all really want to talk about is maybe not inclusivity gone mad, but that is a topic. But I think inclusivity and then people being offended by not being included.
I'm going to start with an example.
I am just going to put it out there. I don't get offended. Don't know about you guys. I think if there was one thing that I would get offended by is it if somebody said that I was false, because I really try hard to be as transparent as possible. But even if somebody said that I was false, I would still not really care because I know that I'm not. So I don't tend to get offended.
Don't tend to absorb.
Because I don't take things personally. That's just how I am. So this is my example of when I thought, you know what, Instagram, social media, being offended has gone way too fucking far. I can't remember whose profile I was on. It was one of those comments which I just picked up and instantly I was like, ugh, annoyed by it.
Yeah.
So what was irritating was the actual post was a really positive post and it was about a woman in business. And she was talking about the pay gap. So she was really, it was something that was really important. And the point got lost because somebody got offended. So she was talking about, she said something along the lines of, just because I've got a vagina doesn't mean I should be paid less. I mean, women everywhere are like, exactly. Yeah. This is like a massive thing that's happening, is we don't get paid as much as men. So someone in the comments wrote, and like Hannah mentioned just now, it's always in a really fucking polite, passive-aggressive way, which really irritates me. Like, if you're going to be offended, like, just go whole hog. Don't pretend to be nice about it. And the comment was, just a polite reminder to let you know, that not all women have vaginas and not all people with vaginas are women or identify as women.
Who tried to make you the authority?
So obviously I went on to that person because I thought maybe they were transgender. They weren't at all. They were being offended on behalf of transgender people.
Yeah.
So I then, like Hannah just says, she's always doing her research afterwards, and yeah. I do the exact same thing. I always question, like, have I been a dick? Have I maybe, like, missed something?
Mm.
So I spoke to somebody I know that's transgender, explained it, and they were like, no, everyone's going fucking bonkers. Yeah. It's bullshit.
Well, first of all, it's actually a fact that there is a pay gap, but also... Yeah. It, when you do that, you dilute the message of what someone's trying to say.
Yeah.
And I've noticed with, like, huge Instagram influencers or social media influencers, they will say things and then they can hear the, like, the sort of criticism coming out from their followers. And so they'll say all these other caveats trying to cover.
Yeah.
And it's, you're kind of dissecting the language of their posts,
yeah,
and almost like breaking it apart rather than feeling the broad message.
Yeah,
of what
definitely.
They were
yeah.
I think the thing with inclusivity is it's accessibility, that everyone is different and that mustn't be told off for. That must be celebrated. So
yeah.
the best way I could describe it is when one of my lecturers once said to me. I adored her and I adored everything that she said. She took my kind of philosophy module that I took and she said, Hannah Jane, the problem with you...
Hannah Jane!
There are many. But she said, you agree with everything I said. And I said, but you're so intelligent. You do so many good papers. I do agree with everything you said. And she said, I just want to let you know that even as a scholar, even as a PhD student, even as someone that actually looks at the facts, I will still present it in a subjective way. I will still present it as my opinion. And you've got to look at those pieces of paper and you've got to realise that you can pick that apart if you want to and always counter-argument.
Mm.
And that was one of the best lessons I you know when you go through uni and you think, where did that fucking 30 grand go? I would have probably put 10 grand on that one
I'm
hour.
I'm like 18 grand
yeah.
in. Like,
oh, sorry.
I don't
want
to think
about
it. I've got two more years
yeah.
to go.
I would put 10 grand on that one little pearl of wisdom. And I think that can be echoed. I know we're going slightly off piece there, but that can be echoed in people's identities. Everyone is different. That should be celebrated. Not in... And always included, of course, but just because I haven't included absolutely everyone, because otherwise I wouldn't get past my first story, which I ramble on enough as it is, if you know me. But also that I am being included. Everyone is very welcome, and people just must know this. Now, there's an element of depth that we could go into there, but on a broad level... people's opinions are getting shot down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's my hardest problem with Instagram.
And diluted.
Do you know what? That was a massive thing for me with Instagram. I don't often comment on people's things because a couple of times, particularly on pages, for example, where there would be like debates. So there's one in particular where there was like a race debate and the idea of poverty porn had come up. And I mentioned it, sent this. I said it's something I've never heard of before, and I think that perfectly describes what some tourists do. And this lady, white lady from, you know, middle America, took her time to tell me it was something from the 80s. Well, that's from the late 80s. Like that. I was like, I actually said nothing. She just wanted to just shoot me down for the sake of shooting me down.
Yeah, they don't want to enter a debate.
Who the fuck has time?
Yeah.
Who has time to do this? And just going back to like the idea of inclusivity, it wasn't the person's place to talk about trans people's pay gap because that's not her experience. She isn't necessarily qualified to speak on that. If I was in an underrepresented group, for example, which I am at times, I would rather somebody who's qualified to speak about my experience speak up. For me, from their experience, than somebody who isn't.
Also, if you identify as a woman, it doesn't matter whether you've got a fucking vagina or not.
Yeah.
You identify as a woman, which means that when you read that post,
which says that
women aren't getting paid as much as men, then you identify with that, not with the fact that that person hasn't said that you might have a vagina or not. It's like, fuck off. I don't. Do you know what I mean? Again, it's the diluted, like. The meaning, the well-meaning behind what's being said gets, like, I think you've nailed it. personally.
Mm. Yeah.
People break it down and they get really obsessive over it. And it's like, look at that person from a distance. Do they look like a nice person? What they're trying to promote is positive. Don't break down word by word what they're saying.
I think it's like social media, you know, the term cancelled culture. Yeah. It's like it goes from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, what's the cancel culture?
Yeah, so it's sort of if an influencer has a downfall or in one respect, so they say something and there's a huge backlash.
Yeah.
So they're cancelled. Yeah. You're cancelled. And it's going from like, it's does very black and white, like, one extreme to the other. Or it's just that they
just get shunned.
Yeah. You know, their career is over as an influencer or a celebrity in whatever way, and they're done. And so it's going from one extreme to the other, but also painting things as very black or white.
Yeah.
And there's no grey area.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes when it comes to, like, diluting the message, it's sort of going from, like, being very extreme in your reaction to people, and therefore, if you don't like what they say, you shouldn't like them as a person.
Yeah.
If that
yeah.
makes sense.
Which is wild to me. I had an instance the other day, an incident, let's say, where somebody posted, everyone gasped, that toxic masculinity doesn't exist.
Yeah, okay.
And I was like, really
I can
does.
Give you a few phone numbers. Yeah. Yeah, you guys, if you want to chat. Yeah.
Do they believe it doesn't exist? I don't know.
They are.
They just look fine. Oh, honey, I've got the yellow
pages. They're living within us.
For that
they
one.
They are living within us. Be careful, guys.
And I mean, I was kind of disappointed with the person that posted it, but if you hold that opinion, fine, but you cannot say it doesn't exist because for many people it does. And I didn't want to do the whole cancel culture thing. I was, you know, really careful with my wording. I actually just said, wow, I feel attacked. Yeah. Talks of masculinity, done it. Yeah. I was like, I think it fucking does. Yeah. And I just said, like, you know, that's a very real experience for others, and for you to feel that that's not what you present or what you represent doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, but we are
allowed to disagree with each other and still get on with each other and be friends.
I have so many people I disagree with.
Do you think we all fucking agree on certain things?
Yeah. I hate star signs and astrology. Yeah. And
Hannah's surrounded by the great people. Within 5 minutes, we're like, yes, we've got Cancer, Virgo, Scorpio.
I was like, get out of my house.
And Hannah's there, like, can you cut me out the bit where you talk about star signs? Sorry, girl, you're in.
You're our voice of balance.
But that's it. And after that, you know, I get this kind of, well, I've got a shirky comment back. Please enlighten me. And I don't know if they, but I didn't care.
Bored.
And that was it. I was like, I don't care enough to explain because I would be here all day. And I don't need to be. All I have to say was that, it was a bit of an insensitive thing. And that's when I felt it was valid for me to step out because I know that person in real life. But again, after that, it was this kind of, you know, that energy where you're like, what? Like, I disagree. It doesn't mean that I don't like you or we need to, like, you know,
precisely not be friends or anything.
Yeah, like, weird, I have plenty of friends.
I love really a good debate.
I had a friend that literally screamed that someone was a racist. And I was like, no, reverse racism doesn't exist. And then I was like, wow, I can't be bothered to go down this route with you, but please don't scream that in my house amongst my friends of colour. Basically. Oh, just don't do that, but we won't get into it, but you can still be here.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, that I feel like there's sometimes a lack of respect with different opinions.
Yeah.
You may disagree with me, but... Mm-hmm. I hate bullshit. I think we all know that that's like my thing. I fucking hate bullshit and I can smell it a mile off. But I have respect for somebody. Donald Trump, for example. He's a fucking asshole. Like, I hate him. But I at least respect him for being so fucking bold. Awful. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's honest. He's awful.
You're
he's
so
bold.
Awful. Well done.
But like... do you think he's a fake person? No, he's quite clearly an arsehole. And I actually, like, I think sometimes people don't give people respect just for having their own opinion. I know that you can take that really far and there's some really awful people and no, I don't respect them. But I do think we have to respect each other's opinions and differences. And if you can, like, get to that point and like get beyond it, then it's fine. But I think we get to, at the moment, I think we're in a space where it's like, you can't say that, you can't say that. And it's like, well, nothing's ever going to change because we have to disagree to get through stuff to come to a resolution.
And those things won't be normalised if we make it, you know, taboo to talk about the things
that we disagree on.
I will talk about things until it's normalised because it's normal to me. Yeah. Like, why does it have to be such a strange concept to people?
This is such
that it exists.
Such a big topic, isn't it?
Like, oh, it's me too.
Because you could even just say that, you know, about the toxic masculinity, well, that is their opinion, so we just shut them all down. Like,
yeah.
But it's like, but again, with social media, if you have a following, what are you perpetuating?
Yeah.
Someone's going to see. And
was there a need for it? Are you helping someone?
Yeah.
Or are you having a voice in society?
Are you trying to poke the bear?
Are you trying to poke Larissa Bear?
Ah, here I come.
And that's the edge.
Yeah.
It feels like people are far more opinionated on social media. I'm just trying to think
in real life.
In real life.
Yeah, like, would you have back that conversation if you were at a party? And would it become, like, for some people, I don't think they would. Mm-mm. But
it
like,
wouldn't
some
get
people
as heated
would.
As it does on social media in real life.
No.
But I think a lot of people are just not as brave in real life.
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
We're brave.
That's the fun of it all.
Be bold, be brave, be you.
Oh,
where's
sorry,
that from?
That's like a fucking...
It's lovely.
Woman deodorant.
Well, it's a sign they sell in Aston now.
I think it's Rimmel.
Women empowerment is a marketing tool.
My words.
Shall we move on
to...
Yeah. Because I feel like that could be hours.
It can all be hours. I think we should set like 10 minutes timers on.
We could just do like a 3-part episode. Yeah,
we'll be back. Right, sustainability. Looking at you, HJ.
Hiya.
Just because you made a really good point the other day, and we've spoken about it before, and I think as people that all live in Bristol, I see it all the time. You've got people going on fucking Extinction Rebellion marches, leaving their litter on College Green and in London. Did you not see the picture?
No.
Oh, it drives me insane. The amount of mess left by people that were marching. Literally.
I did not see that.
And I don't think that's the people that are originally there for the good cause.
No, of course not.
They're
just the bandwagon. Because it's cool to go on marches now. But, also, I think the big problem in Bristol is the drug problem.
Thank you, Lily. I'll take it from here. I have a huge problem with it. And it didn't really... And I must say myself, it didn't stem from having a problem... Hannah Jane. It didn't stem from having a problem about it like it is now. It actually started because I would never put anything in my body... I never taken recreational drugs, never will, because I have fought so hard for my chemicals inside my body. If you don't know, my background is, although I am not defined by my severe anxiety disorder from a child, I have had to work my whole life to create a balance and to create a life that is not scary and to create a mind space that isn't severely up and severely down. And it's a severe privilege to be able to take something for your own enjoyment that puts you in those positions and for you to want to go on a come down that so many people suffer with on a natural basis. That's my first point. And that's where it actually stemmed from all my life. And then I watched it develop at university, and now it's literally as common as going for a drink of wine.
More
and
common,
everyone, I think more common.
In Bristol.
Bristol is mad. Now, this is just a disclaimer. This isn't for people that have a bad connection with it. So if you're slightly dependent, this isn't about you. That's a horrific line to go down. Also a huge disclaimer that I still love anyone that takes drugs, otherwise I'd have no friends and barely anyone in my life.
Otherwise I'd be out the door.
Literally it's no dramas at all, but I just have to say my piece and people talk so much about you know, fucking privileged people, of which I know I'm absolutely one of them, but never have I ever spent money on it. 100% of your money goes towards corruption. Children have bags of cocaine put inside their stomachs and they explode over the border, and you're privileged. Jeez. You are paying money for a party or just to stay up a little bit later to go to the gig, if that's why you take it, to have a child shot in the head. And that sounds so dramatic, but I'm sorry, that's exactly where it's going.
No one thinks about it,
and I can say it again, and so many people say, well, hey, I'm sorry, no one will still care, but I have to say something. And also because me speaking about people's mental health, hey, it's a party, and to be honest, there's an element of me drinking alcohol. I would always get very sad after alcohol, but I was still drinking alcohol, so there's a social change in the social climate that really doesn't get through to you on a mental health level. So let's take it to eco, because everyone's become an eco warrior. Mm. I'm shit at eco. I'm bloody trying. I will never try and be something that I'm not. I can speak about the drug problem and how hypocritical it is.
There's a really great fact about how much square footage it takes.
Yes.
To produce a gram of cocaine.
For every gram, it's 4 square metres of rainforest that is personally... that you could put your name on.
Yeah.
As being deforested.
The thing that got... because I've tried most drugs in the past, and the one thing that got me... and I have done coke quite a few times, you know, I like to be honest. I worked with a Colombian girl who basically broke it down to me, and I think sometimes it just takes different personal interactions to really get it.
Yeah.
And she was like, what you don't understand, and she was like, I'm gonna point the finger at all of you in here, she was like, what you don't get is that my country is fucking ruined because of it. She was like, why do you think I'm living over here? She was like, fucking state. She was like, you just don't get it until you're in it. And she was like, she also said, I don't get why people want to come to Colombia. She was like, it's seen as this like slightly like, ooh, edgy, because fucking Pablo Escobar was there and
really cheap cocaine.
And it's really cheap cocaine, and it's like, it's all a bit edgy and a bit like, oh, it's South America, it's dangerous. She was like, that's not nice. Like, as somebody who's from there, for that's not a nice reason to go and visit a country because it's fucking druggy and like crime ridden, you know?
Do you think it's like an education thing, because you know, so many people have realized how intensive factory farming is, and so actually, but no one knew that because it's kind of behind closed doors.
And what's covering the doors at the minute is what I'm seeing here is people's either ignorance or the social status it brings. People cannot get away from the fact that taking drugs is seen as cool. I see the way that people describe drug taking, even if they say, no, I don't do it because it's cool. I just do it because... And I understand that you're not, but on a subconscious level, you're allowing it to be a part of your life where you travel 5 miles to get a super extra free-range fucking egg for your omelette. I find it hard to digest in places like Bristol.
Well, I think it's kind of, you can do that. We've done it, that quiz, where it was like, how much of a carbon footprint?
Right. Yeah.
All we need to do is just include drugs on that, and then you can see how sustainable you are.
But also, let's also, because eco actually, because obviously my realm is people and humans, I actually get way more affected, and what made me think that I will never ever touch it. Because, you know, sometimes you think maybe you can't say never.
Yeah.
But the fact that the children and the people that I've seen in prisons or that have had their life ruined by it, or that children are being sexually abused for it, or, and that's in the UK, and I think, I can't tell you how, I should have done, I knew this was going to come up, so I should have refreshed, but I saw, I think it's hundreds of thousands of murders in Mexico alone in 2017. Yeah. Yeah. It's not just cocaine versus ket. Oh, ket's way better because of this. For me, it's, what are you doing to the people?
Yeah.
The people of our world, and fucking yourself, but I can't say yourself because it's not coming through, because it's still cool.
Yeah.
But what is cool to be kind, and it's cool to be eco.
Yeah.
And then they're still putting that in their bodies.
And so I just want to put that out there. More of a motivation as well. If you think about other people, external things, that can be more of a motivation than like just yourself.
What a motivation to not
change.
Do it.
Yeah.
But do you not think that a lot of people take drugs, their sole focus is on themselves? So I don't want to sound like I'm generalizing, but I think a lot of men in particular use drugs because They don't know how to deal with their mental state, and then it just
gets
into
that. I think that's when
it
becomes a dependency.
I know so many guys depend on drugs.
I think that's a dependency.
Like, from like my point of view, especially like in terms of, you know, I was speaking to you guys before about ecstatic dance, and just this whole idea of you going into yourself, using practices, like lots of people are into yoga and meditation, and, you know, with dancing, these certain places, you can actually find that really...
euphoric feeling
you might get with drugs, or that groundedness you could feel. So when you're at a party, you can talk, because a lot of people that take drugs is so
or
they
alcohol.
Have that
yeah,
confidence.
It's confidence.
So I say it's an unconscious act, like it's all spiritual terms. But to me, you know, when
write
you
that down.
Wanna,
what does that mean?
So to be conscious is to go into yourself and go into yourself for whatever you need from
right.
yourself. So for example. For answers or to feel better about myself, I can look into myself.
Yeah.
Or if I want to be unconscious because I don't want to look at myself,
okay.
I'm gonna fire a can of coke.
Yes.
Okay.
And then
chat shit.
I
some
feel
stranger
great.
For
let
eight
me talk
hours.
To people. Let me
about
people,
myself
people kid,
for 8 hours.
People kid themselves that it's them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's actually you're not a wild child. I'm afraid.
Yeah.
You've
no,
taken
no,
it,
just very you're insecure.
A hurt person.
You've taken
you're a hurt person.
Well,
yeah.
you've just taken a stimulant. That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
I just wish that people understood that.
Yeah.
You know, you're not crazy if you're up at 10 a.m. still. That's you've taken
on.
It. I think
tired.
I would say. Maybe if you're crazy if you did that on an orange juice, which I tried to do the other day because I'm pregnant and I can't sleep. There's a much more different and less socially acceptable life
yeah.
version of the same thing.
Oh, I'm loving this so far, girls.
All I can say
yeah,
is
great.
Shut me up now.
But no, I think the core thing in that was there's a lot of people in Bristol, and I'm sure other places as well.
Yeah.
Bristol
been
is a very hippie, trippy place.
It's always been. I've been around it my whole
yeah.
life. I've been around drugs. In every way, my whole life.
Okay.
That's the bottom line. I have seen...
And that's
wow.
interesting because I've never been.
Yeah.
I have
yeah.
as well.
I've seen
how
it all.
Did we choose it? Did it come
I didn't choose
naturally?
It.
It's
no.
just fascinating. It just
Bristol
it
is
a,
like
Bristol.
An environment
yeah.
of it as well. But I think
yeah.
what your main point is don't put yourself out there as like an eco warrior
yeah.
if you're getting fucked on the weekend on coke.
Or it's also thinking about where you're putting your money on in every single way.
Yes.
Not just buy
yeah.
food or
like
clothing.
Just, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
also every single thing that you're buying.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I just love that you brought up, like I said, it made me think.
Yeah.
It really made me think. When you said
that's all I don't want to, you know, it's my opinion and
yeah,
I
but
will
it's
never
not,
ever
it's just like we would never fly again if you know we'd
yeah,
never
exactly.
go on holiday
yeah,
again
yeah.
if everyone was like,
just be conscious that people
yeah.
are dying
it's an element
and,
of
and
it
don't
that
talk about
aren't.
Privilege that's my biggest problem it's
what
my,
do you mean
people say about other people's privileges or the how the other privileged people live and they're still banging out your
banging
privilege,
out the
yeah, or ket, or anything that
yeah.
a privilege of a party for someone's death is the biggest privilege I've ever heard of.
Mm.
So wind your neck in.
Yeah.
Sorry, I sound like the Queen. Yes, I am privileged. I'm sorry, but
you care.
Wind your neck in.
Wind your neck.
She's pregnant and she's done. She is.
I will
done,
speak
guys.
No more. I'm getting angry.
Okay.
I'm also getting really hot flushes with these windows.
Mate, I'm hot all the time. Take your top
so
off
you
if you want.
Strip, man. We can all take our tops off.
Take
I can't because I'm not wearing a bra.
Lovely.
Beyonce's diet.
Oh,
Elsa.
What does she mean?
Me and Elsa had like a long conversation about this.
Take it because
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, educate
I'm
going
to start, number
yeah.
one, just putting it out there.
Tell us what it is first.
Yes,
yeah.
give
don't
us
care
the
about
background.
Beyonce that much.
She's, you know, she did the tour. Amazing, Beyonce's amazing. She
Netflix.
Did a tour 8 months after having
female
fucking twins.
Empowerment.
Wow, you're so fucking great, amazing.
Mm.
Did I watch the documentary? Yeah, she was sick. It was great. But there's like a moment where she steps on the scales and she's having a conversation with, I swear it's with her husband, isn't it?
Wait, is this the Coachella documentary?
Yeah,
on
and
Netflix?
She's like,
yeah.
oh, she looks down at the scales and is like, oh, it's not quite there. Every girl's worst nightmare. Not mine, because I don't know how much I fucking weigh at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't have scales. It's not actually every woman's nightmare because some people don't give a shit about how much they weigh.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's this intense diet exercise thing she's fucking selling.
I'm gonna get really upset.
Yeah,
she's selling it.
Trigger warning.
Trigger warning. Mm-hmm. Beyonce's not Reed as good warning. As she...
Oh, no, I never... I actually thought she was an arsehole for quite a while. Yeah. But I do like her music.
I love her. I love her, and I think she's amazing. But I think there's an element of her that has sold out.
Yeah.
Before this diet thing happened, I thought, do you know what? You're selling out. Like, it's...
She doesn't have a human experience like we have. I've always said that. Beyonce herself doesn't have much of a human experience. So I wouldn't want to look to her for anything.
We actually don't know who she is as well.
Who is Beyonce?
I was on holiday with my school friend, and we were talking about it, and it's all a facade, and it's all heavily manufactured, so you can't really, like, and it's not, I'm not expecting to be friends with Beyonce.
Are you?
I'm not Beyonce.
But, like, when you walked in now, I'd be like, yo!
Be like, put your chair, girl.
Take a seat.
No, we're just talking about you.
But, like, as an artist that you follow, like, you want to, like, feel the personality, and we started talking about it because you were looking for music to go to the gym to,
and
wasn't
I said
it?
That's it. I posted an Instagram story and I said, send me music to go to the gym not Beyonce. If I hear one more person say that she fucking goes to the treadmill to Beyonce, I'm not interested.
No.
Hannah, listen to your drum and bass.
Oh, did you like
really
it?
Like that. And then we got into the conversation and I said that I feel like she's a bit moany in her singing and a little bit dated. Just my personal opinion.
And I said she was overrated.
And then you began.
Now I'm like much more of a Rihanna fan than Beyonce because I feel like Rihanna's a bit realer. I think Beyonce is from that generation where it was a bit faker. Like
Hold on, so she stepped on the scales and she said I'm fat.
No, she said don't put words
in Beyonce's mouth.
Maybe yeah.
She said she said I'm fat.
She said she like looks at the camera and goes, every girl's worst nightmare.
Ew.
Like, Beyonce, mate, you're meant to be the woman that's encouraged us all to like be
We're saying it's contrived feminism because she's saying, like, I'm the epitome of female empowerment, and then I'm going to sell you a 21-day crash diet.
Yeah.
So she's selling a diet?
She's selling a diet and exercise.
Is she? How much does that cost then? Talk us through that.
I reckon it costs quite a bit.
Asking for a friend.
This is my breaking heart.
I thought it was like a milking a boob.
No, that's the card. We can do that in a few months' time.
I just think if you're so empowered and you're like, oh my God, I've done this amazing diet workout thing and I feel great and I want to share it with you, I'm worth how much?
No. She's got too much power to do that.
And millions and millions. Do you really need to,
she's got too much power to do that.
And also, she's telling her fans that they should do that.
She's perpetuated this for a long time, though.
She's monetizing it as well.
When she did Dreamgirls in 2006, she went on a diet. It was well known that she did a cayenne pepper diet.
Maple syrup with the lemon juice.
Yeah, maple syrup and whatnot. So she did that.
My friends were all on it.
But I remember... I remember my mum and me and my mum have a really complex relationship about weight, something
with each other or with yourself,
with myself, where, you know, my sisters were all a lot slimmer than me, and you know, basically my mum couldn't understand why I wasn't the slim one, and so
slim. I know.
Well, that's because you're CrossFit.
That's CrossFit
guys. Oh, that's a typical CrossFit thing to do, just that it's CrossFit. So yeah, like, she didn't mean it, but it always stuck with me, where she'd talk about, you know, well, Beyonce, when she was on tour, was only eating 6 sliced cucumber a day. Fuck. Can you imagine? And, like, my, you know, my size 12, 16-year-old ass, which is just not even abnormally overweight in any way.
That's not even the average.
Registered that as, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
And I know I can't survive off 6 slices of cucumber a day, so why bother? At least I've always known, like, what I need to eat to fucking function. So the idea that someone would buy Beyonce's diet and suffer, because that's it, isn't it, really?
It's punishing
Would you like to associate yourself with this brand and suffer? Or would you like to... Would you like to live a life of joy without Beyonce's fucking diet plan?
Yeah.
Some people don't know the difference, by the way. Some people don't know.
Which is why it's fucking wrong. Which is why
she has too much power.
Because she's in a place of power.
Because she knows that. She fucking knows that. Just give it out for free. And also, like, do you know what I mean?
If you really give it out at all.
And that's what I know, but that's how you know.
And the thing is,
we sound like those kind of men. Stick to singing, love.
Yeah. It's also like the Kylie skin thing. It's like saying you could have skin like me. It's like you could have
Who's
a body
that?
Like me, Kylie like Jenner. And the thing is, it's like
I can't afford your cosmetic.
I had to look that way.
Oh, I'm lovely
like,
for that. 98% lip filler.
They're affluent people. They have a whole team. It's like that are making sure that they look like tip top. And it's selling a lie as well.
Should we split the cost of the Beyonce diet before and after?
Try it. Yeah,
let me just quit my job, podcast, live on my own.
I've done the Beyonce personal diet, trainer.
Have a PA.
But I mean,
the maple syrup one.
So when I mean, like, imagine like you've sold everything, but you've done the Beyonce diet. Yeah. You know, like that's the social
Still
credibility.
Not Beyonce, but
the social credibility will be enough. I'm being sarcastic, by the way. Like, please, like I said, would you rather suffer or live a life not knowing who Beyonce was and have joy?
Yeah,
I would rather live a life without.
But it's
Beyonce.
Also like, not only is it the power thing, it's like your ego is that fucking big.
No, I knew that when she had her pregnancy photos, she's dressed up as Mother Mary or
wasn't it Mother? No, who was it?
Was
Mary Magdalene.
Not Mary Magdalene, but
that isn't the right word.
Jesus'
is
mum. We know.
It was like Mary.
That chick. Jesus' mum.
Jesus. You know
Jesus.
Mary.
Yeah.
Proud Mary.
Jesus' mum. I'm picturing like Ivy. Does she have a lot of that's her daughter's name.
No, she
does
a halo.
I don't care.
Nor do I. Give me.
Can we do one for you to take the piss?
Should we do one?
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for that.
And you can clutch your.
I said to my colleague yesterday. I said I'm off to shoot next Wednesday, so I won't be site visiting then. Said, oh, pregnancy shoot. I was like, not on my Nelly.
Clifton Photography.
Not on my Nelly.
With your boyfriend's hands
on
your belly.
No!
Stood behind
And that's when we move conversation.
Yeah,
I love that we're all that cynical. It's great.
Yeah, sorry, also, if you do like that, that's
that
very
I know
sweet.
That like, might have had that,
yeah,
I'm like,
sorry.
I might have it done.
Different strokes, different strokes. When I get pregnant, I'm going to just... I won't be available. I'm not even going to tell people. Like, if you ask me if I'm pregnant, I'll deny it. How dare you assume?
I'm a director of the board. I've got better things to do.
What baby is that? Oh, that's not my baby.
He's okay, but I don't really know him yet.
We're bonding.
Also, just with like a little end note to the Beyonce diet thing.
Yes.
We know it's a hard
note. If you want to lose weight, which I do think is okay. Right, it's all right to... want to get a bit healthier, you don't need to follow a celebrity diet because they all do the same thing. All they encourage you to do is eat a little bit less or a bit healthier and exercise more. You don't need to pay or look at somebody else to do that.
You
go
can
on
just
Google
do it.
And just work out. Get a MyFitnessPal app. I've done it. It's great. You just monitor it a bit if you're not OCD or haven't got an eating disorder.
It's available to people with a very...
balanced way of looking at
balanced
things.
Balanced mindset.
And also, you don't have to follow some celebrity thing to be fit and healthy. Just go down the gym or go to a yoga class, go for a walk.
Surround yourself
you know?
With people. Can I say that as, I'm going to bring up CrossFit.
Hashtag.
Affiliate.
Hashtag CrossFit for Ashton. For Bristol
Hashtag
people.
Gym bunny.
Hashtag vegan games.
Go on.
Yeah, baby.
What was that thing?
Yeah. Something I realised, as soon as I immersed myself in the gym, because I wasn't very well, and that was going to be the thing that saved my life.
Mm. Yeah.
And it wasn't a means to lose weight. That was a byproduct of me going to the gym. It was so my head would stay together and I wouldn't wake up every day thinking I was going to die.
Yeah.
Alongside that, again, going back to please no violins, but I remember before that time, I used to believe that I was abnormally large. I had the perception that something wrong with me and I had to lose weight, not helping that family members would tell me, you know, if you lost 2 stone, you'd go from 6 out of 10 to 9 out of 10. But now...
Ouch!
Yeah, just, you're cancelled,
no
you're cancelled.
Yeah.
But now, going to somewhere like CrossFit, we're in an environment where people are pushing weight and eating healthily and doing all of those things and look like you, like, I don't know, not like Instagram models, basically, but look happy and look healthy. If you have any of those tendencies to feel like you need a Beyonce diet plan, you need to come to somewhere like CrossFit and immerse yourself, surround yourself with people that will show you that that's what's not important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In because the first place.
Because I think as well that it, again, why it's wrong, because it is just so wrong. It's not the power thing. It's not the fact that she's monetizing it.
Mm.
It's the fact that she's selling it as like a weight loss thing.
Also, can I say...
Do you know what I mean? At least be a bit savvy about it and say and market it as something as like wellness or wellness. At least be on trend, Beyonce.
Be on her own trend.
And also, can I just say how much power she actually has. How much power she actually has to the fact that I haven't heard about this.
Mm.
And at least the Jenners get caught up. They always get pulled up for their... Because I don't know who these Jennies... That's one.
You know Jenny
around the corner.
And Kylie Jenny.
Well, the only way I know it is if I have to fucking protest about the lollies.
The lollies.
They get pulled up on this, so I know about them. But Beyonce is so clever. She's seen much power that this has been untouched because I haven't heard about it.
Yeah.
So, well done, Beyonce, for being a conniving little monkey.
Yeah.
And that's where we end on that one.
Yeah. Okay. So then, last topic before we do our little quick fire round.
Has it already gone by? I'm like,
we're on 40 minutes, my goodness.
Smear tests.
I have an interesting point to bring to the table. Yeah.
Go on. So, I shared something on Instagram. I did kind of know about it already. About the since the Jade Goody, you know, there was the Jade Goody effect. So when Jade Goody died, there was like a massive push in smear tests, and women were getting, and they also came up with that vaccination as well, didn't they, for young girls that hadn't had sex yet? Is that right?
HPV. They give it to men. Because they only give it to men at the boys at the minute.
So I remember when my sister first had it was when she was about 15 or 16.
Yeah.
So I would have been like 18 or 19, and I think it was for people that weren't sexually active. It was like a preventative thing.
Check up on that.
It
but I think
it's probably changed by now. Yeah. But I remember that I couldn't have it.
It was brought into Scotland like just before, like I just missed it by a few years, which would be about right
because we're the same age. Yeah. So there was a massive push in, like, it decreased massively in like women actually dying from it. And then in recent years, it's gone back down again to the point where women aren't going to their smear tests and are just avoiding it, which I just think is... I understand why people avoid it, but I also think it's just one of those things in life that we have to do. And is it really worth... Is it worth not going and feeling uncomfortable for 5 minutes to the potential of like being really poorly and dying?
Yeah.
And
I wonder why.
I think
I've got a bit of an angle on this one because I've worked basically with all girls all of my life, because I've worked in salons, and one thing I noted, and this is a very specific type of people, I'm going to generalize a lot, but girls that work in salons, the majority of them tend to be girly girls. They're the girls that will get up. Even if they're hungover, they will get up early to have a shower, blow dry their hair, put their makeup on, get ready. When I'm hungover...
Good for them.
5 minutes.
When I'm hungover, I'm not getting out of the bed.
Yeah.
I'll be in bed.
And there's like also what happened at the same time. So that's one thing that I noticed. Another thing that I noticed was a lot of them used like feminine hygiene products.
Okay.
Like Femfresh.
Oh, yeah.
Really bad for you.
Yeah. Very bad for you. And I think... It's this kind of girly girl attitude of being clean and being made up and not really accepting that our bodies make fluids and we sweat and we smell.
I hope they've never had an STI. They must feel awful.
Well, I can't disclose it, but there was one, actually a friend of mine who, she told me about the feminine hygiene products, and she was like, don't use them. I was like, well, I never have. I've never would. She was like, because it gives you really bad infections.
That's what I mean.
You're just cleaning away all the like bacteria.
I imagine it causes things like thrush and
stuff. And I think, I think that type of attitude, that kind of fear of being dirty, rejecting like your body a little bit, almost like not wanting to look down and be.
That's a societal fucking lie.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think maybe that's something that's not encouraging people to go because they just don't
be in touch with their bodies.
Yeah.
Feeling
a bit of disconnect.
Yeah.
Larissa.
So, the first point was interesting. I had a friend who's recently been on. Had an experience, and it made me think too, in terms of connections with our bodies. There's women, and she was talking about the fact that she has been on contraception from the age of about 15, and she was like, "I haven't experienced a period in its total,
a
natural way." But it did get me thinking on a wider level. Is that there are for women a lot of things that create barriers between them
and their bodies
and their body and these natural things. And I know for me, it's what we spoke about with the smear test. It's something that I've had to work on. And, when you post about, not being able to do the smear test, I spoke to my friend, another friend, an older friend about this. She's 64. I have friends in their 60s. And she told me, she was like, "Larissa, I found it really hard to go for a smear test." She had to find a nurse that she really trusted. And not everybody can do this. She said in 40 years, the smear test procedure has not changed. She said it is evasive. And I believe only a man could have created that procedure. And I know there's nothing we can do about it. But when I look at the way they do that procedure, it's so just...
Yeah.
What's the word when you're just
rough?
Yeah, it's very rough. It's very rough.
The smear procedure.
The smear procedure is very rough. I don't think it's sensitive to our needs. I have needs. For example, I have needs. Plenty of people that have needs. It could be because you've been sexually assaulted. Yeah. It could be because,
which is something I hadn't considered. That I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know that there are a lot of valid point.
Yeah. And that's a huge thing because lots of people have been violated. Mm. So why do I want you to take a clamp and crank open my cervix?
And be in and out with 10 minutes.
Has to do it. Why don't you look at redesign?
Yeah, I think as well when you get there, there's such a big difference between a good experience and a bad. Because I've had one where I had a very confident, and she was blatantly done them all day. Like, I think she was like, "Yep, you're on
another
one." Next. And she was just so calm, and I really respond very well when someone's calm. Yeah. And then I had a bad experience when someone was rushing, and she was like, "I'll just be out in a few minutes," to like her colleague, and it just immediately made my cervix
clamp up.
A sign in a form,
And so it's like, I think that can make a difference. But then if you go further than that, like maybe the clinical experience of going is another barrier itself. Is there a more welcoming way that you could design the procedure?
I think people need to be supported if they have had external situations that put pressure on them.
They should be put on the letter, maybe.
And that should be noticed. But for my personal experience, I have had just the most welcoming, warming experience. That is obviously from a privilege where I haven't had any problems with one being naked my entire life and flouncing around.
I can't even say if I've had good or bad experiences because I've literally. But then again, I think this is what I am like as a person is I can detach quite quickly. Yeah. Like in my job as well, like when you're massaging people, I can I can hurt people and I don't really have any problem with it.
Yeah.
But you're connected to bodies.
Yeah, I am really connected to bodies, but I think maybe that's that part of my mind which is maybe more like a doctor than a patient. Do you know what I mean? So I'm kind of like go in, out. But I have had a really bad experience. It wasn't a smear test because I think I've only had I'm 29. How many have we had? If we're 22?
I've had two, but they do it earlier in Scotland.
Because it's every couple of years.
But I'm high risk.
Are you?
So I've had to have all sorts. And I have to go back on what I just said quickly for your point. Because I do just walk up and get it done. But I am petrified. My nan died of cancer, not this cancer that we're checking for, and they're not checking for cancer, they're checking for HPV, which can lead to cancer. But the whole ordeal actually brought up an awful lot for me, because she was a big part of my life. But I still have no issue with knowing that that will, that I will go. But I do have a sensitivity attached to it.
Yeah.
But the whole process of it, my body, for me, I'm in a privilege where I feel like I can trust anyone with it, because that's all I know.
Yeah.
So
that's my...
I had a really bad experience.
On one of your smears?
No, it wasn't actually for a smear test. It was when I had my coil fitted and I had to go back after 6 weeks to have it checked. And it was one of those occasions where it was in the moment. It was so in the moment that I couldn't do anything about it. And then I spoke to somebody at work and they were like, you need to call up and complain because it was really out of order.
Yeah.
So I walked in and... I don't really go to the doctor. I don't really enjoy going to the doctor because I think that a lot of the time they're not very nice as well. They're so used to dealing with people that they don't really care. And she barely looked up when I walked in. She barely said hello. And she knew what I was coming in for. And I think, this is like quite a lot of information, but I think it's people need to hear about it. I was on my period and I had a tampon in. And... she was like, okay, on the bed, I'm going to check it. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm on my period, so like I've got my tampon in. She was like, that's okay, take it out. And she stood in front of me with her hand stretched out with a glove on, and she watched me take a tampon out and took it into her hand. I felt, can you imagine? I don't know if that's right or not. I don't know. I think she was so fucking detached as like a doctor that she, and she's so used to seeing shit that she just didn't think that that might be uncomfortable for me. And then I led back, and then she, it's similar to a smear test because they have to open your cervix to have a look. Honestly, I don't want to sound gross. She shoved the thing up me, wrenched it out, was like, yep, I can see it. And she was like, you're done. Honestly, I counted on my phone. I was in there for 7 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I walked out and I called Alex and I was like, Alex, this has just happened. And he was like, what the fuck? Yay. He was like, how dare she? That's so invasive. Like, you need to complain. And I just didn't. And that's really stupid because I'm one of those people that always tells people to complain if they've had a bad experience. But I just was like,
I've had a lot of bad experiences. Not me, I've never done the coil, but I've had an awful lot of
even that, I'm still like, you know what, I have to go for my smear test. Like, that was a horrible experience, but it hasn't put me off. Because for me, like, the fear of being ill is just, like, so much worse than, like, made the potentially, like, uncomfortable thing.
Yeah.
But it is definitely... it maybe could be managed a lot better. Like, that's when they send you the letter, they could have, like, a little form which says if this, if you've, like, been abused or if you've had, like, this situation or if you're somebody that's, like, super sensitive.
Yeah. Support.
Or you need to just check
here.
No, they don't have that.
Should, like, what I'm saying is that it would be good if they had that on the letter.
Yes, that's what I just didn't know if they did that.
I've had a nurse a few years ago literally spat at me because they were struggling to examine me. You need to get therapy for this then, don't you? I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, I get therapy for most things. But
I'm not perfect.
But yeah, it's the way, you know, I think I'm just too much of an empathetic person, you know, very, you know, peace, joy, love. But I think for me, in terms of medicine, when it comes to especially women's health, because I know it is definitely underfunded and that's why things don't change. That's why the smear test is the same thing. And that's fine if it works. But at the same time, like, could you not insert some respect and empathy in there? Because I think that's what a lot of people need. Because a lot of people might listen to this now and not even realise, like, would have had an experience like yours and not even think that wasn't okay.
Yeah.
That's just what happens to women.
Yeah.
But please go.
Go.
But go get a smear test. And find out about support too. If we can, I'll go away and find something and maybe we can post with it. I should do my research.
Well, in the little thing Nana that I posted, like, you're allowed to take music, you're allowed to take somebody with you, you're allowed to ask for a smaller thing.
Oh, this is
thing.
Important.
You're allowed to
you share. Are allowed to ask.
Yeah, I would have had no idea about that.
It's really dirty.
So, yes, just take a smaller one.
Mate, they should just give out a little Valium to people to make them relax.
Just some CBD oil on it.
You know,
do you want to be punched out for this?
Please, I'd have to do like a little breathing in, breathing out.
I did ask for that. I did say, could you put me to sleep to do these things? And they were like, no.
Can we just like, can we skip back to people feeling a bit disconnected with their bodies? Because obviously you're a yoga teacher.
Yeah.
Do you see this all of the time?
Well, it's hard to like say that I know everything personal that's going on in like people that come to my classes lives, because it's an hour in a week usually,
but surely you can like from their bodies
I know from personal experience that I feel like, having done a lot of yoga in the past and continue to do so, and also speaking to people, it's just an easy answer, yes.
Yeah.
And I totally relate to that concept of like looking down at your body and thinking like it's unclean or whatever. I can when you have conversations with people, you can understand they're like, oh, I'm not flexible enough, that's the cliche, and it's like you're kind of trying to force your body to be something, like you want it to be a certain way, or you're dissatisfied that it's not flexible or it's not strong enough. So the short answer is yes. And I think it's because I don't know, like, as a society, it's like the ecstatic dance. It's sort of like, we're just used to go out dancing when we're drunk or, like, you know, like, are intoxicated. Yeah, you don't feel it. And so, as a culture, like, you're not allowed to be in your body.
Yeah, we're not in our bodies at all.
We're just worried about what they look like, really, aren't
we? Yeah. And then that creates the battle. Yeah. Because you're like seeing your body as a separate entity to yourself,
which is why people don't get that's why people don't get motivated to exercise, because they're not doing it for the right reasons.
No, in awe of what it can do rather than what it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh wow, look what it can do. That is
the irony of it, though, is when you do it to achieve something, is like you said, like an offset of it is that you do shape up and you probably do like look a bit toned and like nicer or whatever.
You know what,
you feel better.
You radiate.
Our obsession with bodies is just fascinating, and I've gone through a whole new journey with my body. It's just so, I won't go into too much detail of it, but just the most support you ever need when you go through your pregnancy isn't about what you look like, and every single person is
telling you you
look
amazing.
You are amazing. And what really helped me is when I went here and I was like, no, I think because I really love to go to the gym and I actually really love to see my muscles pop, people thought that I had this problem that didn't exist, and they were like, are you okay with your body? I was like, yeah, I have a big stomach now, because I have a human in it, for fuck's sake. I had a super tiny one before, so I don't really understand like what your point is, and can we close that? Like, is that done? Like, my body's absolutely fine, thank you. And I don't love my cellulite, like body positivity movement.
Yeah.
Like, I find that really difficult.
Me too.
Because people are sitting there grabbing the cellulite going, I love my body. I don't like it. Sorry. I prefer it if it's not there. But it actually doesn't bother me.
Yeah. That's,
and that's the thing.
That's accepting.
It's
dissatisfaction or accepting.
You don't have to love things. You can be just okay with it.
You can.
I said about it in the Body Grateful thing. It's like, stop fucking telling me to like my cellulite. I don't like it. But am I like an insecure mess that's not going to wear a pair of shorts because of it? No, because there's a lot more going on than cellulite in our lives.
It's also like that destination thing. Like, you know, if I didn't, or when I get, therefore I can be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that,
I'll be better.
That sounds good.
I'll be done.
Like, yeah,
should we start where you are? And that's my main thing that I really enjoy with yoga. And you said about maybe clients trying to be somewhere they're not. I'm happy to be humble. I will start where I am and with what my body can do. my body's here. That is amazing enough. It, you know, it's surviving.
That's the essence of yoga,
so
isn't
much.
It?
Yeah.
Just being.
Just being. So woo, but I think just for me, just having to overcome so many things.
It's something you have to train yourself to do because I still feel like, I feel like at the most in my life, I'm getting to a point of enjoying the process of things.
Yeah, me too.
Because I'm quite like goal orientated. So I'm like, if I achieve this certain thing, I'll feel amazing. And then, but then for me, it'll be the next.
I'm never satisfied.
But there's nothing wrong with that. I do think that's our generation as well. We've been brought up in a very goal orientated. You can do what you want if you work hard for it. But the trouble with that is we're all like succeeding and not really noticing like the nice in between bits that it takes to get there.
Yes, 1,000%.
If you want to really appreciate that, do taekwondo.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's humbling.
And that's. I'm going to that.
We can do another episode on that.
I remember getting so frustrated when I was like first doing yoga because I was like, "Yeah, I can do this," and they'd be like, "Oh, you can do this other thing as well."
Yeah,
like
progression.
Yeah,
you're like, progression versus regression, right?
Yeah. Oh man, But then, like,
but
then actually, you want to enjoy it. Yeah,
it makes it exciting. Like, I can definitely accept. You know, my yoga teacher Mika is a contortionist. She can literally will just stand there and do the splits against the wall. I can just about sit in the straddle position.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, that's phenomenal because a month ago my body
couldn't
do that at all. So that's why I'm like, but it's taken a lot of training.
To even get there.
But I believe that that's another thing, isn't it? Is that, you know, maybe we'll end up on this Instagram thing of like, I don't want to give up telling people this is my experience because otherwise if I stop talking, then people are going to think that all those people on Instagram who are either grabbing their cellulite or bending themselves up into infinity figures are normal. And that's like, no, that doesn't represent
the majority
of us.
Well, when you remove yourself, you're allowing a lot more space for assholes to take up the space, aren't you?
No, I'd rather make myself nice and big and...
Nice and big and juicy.
Should we do a little quick fire round?
Oh yeah.
Alright. Proudest moment of the summer. I'm not gonna start this one, girls. Elsa.
I was thinking about that one. That was hard to I did think of one actually. I feel really proud because in September I'm gonna start saying no to more stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm not really good at like
deciding that.
Yeah, and making I've already started saying no to stuff. I've kind of been very strict with myself of not working 7 days a week and actually working 5 days a week, and that will start in September. And related things to that.
Yeah.
Saying no to stuff. So it's
sort of like a snowball,
that's
isn't
strong.
It? Yeah.
Good.
Lares.
Awesome. I think my proudest moment of the summer was I'm in a dance group and we danced.
Oh yeah.
We worked so unbelievably hard and I didn't realise how hard we were working because everyone was so passionate about it, and we danced at the Bristol Harbourside Festival and Bristol Pride, and I do feel like my proudest moment was at the end. I let off a confetti cannon at the end of our routine. And everybody just hugged. And it was like one of those moments, like really soppy moments of like pure solidarity.
Yeah.
Like people really together. And, but I realised then, I was like, I really just live for this kind of connection. And I felt so proud that everybody there had worked so hard. No one there's a professional. It was a very, you know, egoless thing.
Yeah.
Yet everybody had had so much fun. And that for me, I was like, I'm good for the year now.
Yeah
I'm done.
I'm done.
That's a good one. Hannah?
Amazing. Can I go with two coach? Can I go
mate,
with
take
two?
Your time because I'm two. Like desperately trying to think of what mine's going to
be. Okay. Well, one was running the half, just over 2 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was so sick.
I was going to say, were you feeling like shit?
Oh my
I've
word.
Never felt so bad, and it was the hottest day of the year that we'd had. It was the one in April, and I and the road was tarmac, but also it was the pride of running with my partner, who just inspires me so much. And then like also seeing his time, that made me so proud because he's just absolutely insane and unstoppable. But there was also the pride within myself of being able to run alongside, not be fucked to try and keep up because I never will, but for doing it for me and the baby when I was in such a bad place. Because I actually couldn't get off the sofa. And then that was my physical pride. And then my life pride was getting a referral for my business. Someone, director of another body, came to one of the talks that I did in London. And he wanted that exact same talk for his company. And for me, that meant the entire world. I could go into it forever, but that my company is just everything, and that was just. I get referrals all the time, but they're really big companies, and they're London, and it just felt like I was
like
doing
smashing
something.
It.
Well done.
And that all comes from what I've created myself with no daddy trust fund. Just as an FYI, I know the voice might sound like it, but that was all my work. I love that.
Yeah, I think it's really important to, I don't know if, I think this is quite a Spanish thing, because Spanish people are so proud, and like Spanish parents are so proud as well.
I love that.
But I think it's really important, and I think a lot of like English culture, we're not proud in the sense about like talking about achievements, whereas my mum has, and my dad, they're like, Rosanna, if you tell people that you've achieved something, that changes their opinion of you, and like it almost makes them, I don't know how to like explain it. It, for example, I used to be really bad with money, and then I like made some changes and like paid my debt off, and used my student loans to like pay all of my rent for like 3 months. Amazing. So I told my mum, and she was like, "Wow, that's amazing!" Because like 5 years ago, you would have used your loan to like go shopping or whatever.
Yeah.
And she was like, "It's really important that you tell people this, because they might have an expired version of you in their head that they're holding you in, whereas like you need to update their like perceptions of you."
I'd never
thought of it that way. And she was like, "And Alex, you need to tell your parents as well, because they might think that you're a particular way, but you're not, and you have to like update people."
I never heard that as a viewpoint. I think that because we are like growing up in the UK, like we are really bad at like showing off.
And I'm always really scared of that as well, because we're such a proud family that I do get scared that people think I'm showing off. But I think it's really important to show off.
You keep showing off.
That's
I'm going to take a leap out of your
book. That's lovely.
That
was
demonstrate
really hard.
Your skills. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really hard for me this year when I got my, you know, my director role. I don't want to celebrate, mate. You feel like you have to explain to people how you did that, but that's wonderful, and well done for using your student loan to pay your
thanks.
Rent.
Oh, I'm awful
real
at
hard.
Money.
Do you know what's one thing that I wanted to
that's
be
really
able?
Comforting.
I wanted to be able to say that I was going to enter my 30th year with no debt, because that was a goal of mine. And then my wrist packed in a month ago, and I was obviously signed off work. And I spoke to my sister, who is amazing at money.
My
sister lives in London. She saved like, I won't say how much, but like over 10 grand in a year. Like, it's insane. She's frugal as fuck. And she is like, she's the person that I look at as like
amazing.
A really good role model with money. Like, I said to her, how do you save money? And she's like, well, for a start, she was like, Rosanna, I cannot believe how much people pay to have coffee. And I'm like,
Everybody
I know is like spending way too much money. Anyway, she's really frugal. But she said to me, she was like, don't beat yourself up, because it's out of your control. You did everything in your control to pay your debts off. You can't control your wrist packing in.
Yeah.
She was like, make new goals. It doesn't matter that it's after the fact that you're 30.
Great advice.
But for me, birthdays are a real like milestone, so I like to have it done by that day or whatever. So that was one thing I wanted to be proud of, but it didn't happen. So that's fine. But I think I'm trying to think what my proudest
podcast.
Yeah, but
I'm so bloody self-critical that I'm all over the podcast now.
Don't be ever over that.
I did take a moment the other day to be like, oh shit, I've actually like done fucking loads of it. Yeah. And like, just like, doosh. And I think my, my proudest thing is I'm actually a lot more capable of doing a lot of things than I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, this is so showy offy, I got a first in every module at uni.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you can't do that. That's important. Yeah,
that's high moment.
It's so annoying that it doesn't count for first year.
No, I was I was exactly the same as you. The first year I got a first and everyone was like, you should have had more fun. And I was like, nah. All right, no one knows it, but I like the first.
Quick fire round.
Yep. Oh god, was that one of them? How awful, we're so long.
We just did the rest.
Never have I ever.
I've never have I ever. Also, I don't have this on my list.
No, because I've added it as I've gone. All right, favourite summer moment.
I don't know.
Mine was going to Spain to visit my family and just showing Alex that side of the family, which is quite nice for him because it made him understand me a lot more. And also, whenever I go back there, the part of me that always feels insecure when I'm in England is always reaffirmed when I'm there.
Beautiful.
Oh. So like,
I love shit like that. That's
so things like being a bit bolshy or like interrupting or like pushing and like just the very Spanish part of me, or like being a bit frowny or kind of being a bit moody. Like when I go there, I'm like, oh, I'm not a dickhead. It's just my Spanish part of me. Spanish. Yeah.
Oh.
So that's always nice. And
you
think
feel connected.
So connected to my roots, and I think I'm definitely more Spanish than English. And when I go there, just literally fuck off Instagram, fuck off TV, just be out in nature and like eat. And that was my favourite summer moment, I think, being away from it all. What's yours?
I've struggled to like pinpoint. I'm sure I'd think of other ones as I go, but I think one nice one was my school friends and I were at my parents' and we were like drinking Prosecco on the balcony, and it was like the nicest weather. It was so nice. And I was with my dog, but that was nice.
But just like a peak, like.
Yeah, just like happiness. Content.
Yeah, content.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, now. Sounds like I don't do anything.
No, but wasn't it confetti cannon? Surely that's like
dancing,
peak.
The dancing was peak summer. I think, again, it's because I've realised I've become this person that my old self always aspired to be. And I would say that this summer, and the last was the beginning of it, but this summer I've lived as the person
that you want
I am
to be.
In essence.
So cool. Yeah.
I just am in essence. Sequins, glitter, you know, lots of freedom, and also just lots of really nice downtime as well. Like being able to, you know, even though I'm all outward and party and whatnot, I actually need a lot of quiet time. I've given myself that this summer.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting pregnant might not up there.
Yeah, but that was mad, and that was
not summer, was it?
And that wasn't summer, and that really was entangled with so much, and it really has like taken over. So the
funnily enough,
it's become a real. I sorry for anyone with aversions of love, although I think that's always a problem in itself. any time spent with the guy that I thought was just the biggest gem in the world.
Yay.
Yeah. Fucking legend.
We love love.
Fucking legend.
We love. Love is good.
Millennial domestic issues. I'm just going to put mine out there.
I can't. It's all of them.
All right, okay. I can't be alone here. It's not the recycling bin.
Okay.
It's when you use chia seeds and then you like scrub a bowl.
Stop
and the fucking seeds get stuck in the green part of the sponge. And they embed and then they swell up because you know they like swell up with water and then you can't get them out.
That's a problem.
Try and trump that as a millennial domestic problem.
I'm actually speechless.
Had to have surgery on her thumb because of an avocado. Like, legit had to...
When the avocado is not ripe, or and then it's you cut either it over
and,
it's,
and you've
or
got
under.
The extra ripe one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you cut it and you've
and
lost
the
avocado, money.
Yeah. And then you take, you open it and it's done. Because
you need to move to the Netherlands. I don't think they tamper with the avocados, but I never had a bad avocado in the Netherlands.
Lidl. Lidl, two packs of one.
You as you know, Larissa's never shopped in Lidl or Aldi. I love I'm talking about myself in the third person, but I went there for the first time and did a food shop. In both, two consecutive weeks, I went. And again, that goes back to the money thing. Like, just because you have it doesn't mean you should go to Waitrose, you know? Just go
Waitrose
to Aldi.
So
and Marks and Spencer's.
Marks and
Spencer's. Guys, don't say that.
No, no, no. Lidl's is literally
also,
top
Lidl
Thompson.
And Aldi for health food is the one.
Yeah.
Lidl, top
or all the Mediterranean food.
Yeah, or the Parma ham and all that kind of stuff.
Everything. I mean, they just had this Cabello Nero for 75 pence, and I was like, oh my word.
It's all from the same place anyway, isn't it?
Exactly.
Favourite summer song? Da 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 da. Have we not prepped
Lizzo,
for this?
Lizzo song.
Shall we end it
now?
No,
no, no, there's just so much.
So many songs.
I've been listening to just one on repeat, which I've already shared. It's by Terza. It's called Make It Up. Mm. She just sounds like a really cool girl.
I've never been able to answer these kind of questions.
I'll put them in the
I'm
description.
Never,
okay,
I'm never
fine.
Good with
ooh,
songs. I mean, I have
Summer
a whole playlist.
Summer Vibes is Lizzo's Juice song.
Ooh. Don't know Lizzo still.
Oh, she's so fun.
We'll
she's
link
great.
It in the,
yeah.
Link it in the box.
Yeah,
but
Larissa,
I mean, I like so
I'll
many
share,
songs.
I'll share my playlist.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm no good at these things because
I've just had
really
one that I've just
this.
Had on repeat.
Oh,
that
I
love
this.
That.
Remember what I've done.
I love that Peggy Goo EP, and I love Peggy Goo anyway.
Which
but
one?
I love
you talk.
I love Hand Down.
Yeah,
that's the kind of one I'll sing in my car. You'll see me driving around Bristol, like singing at the top of my lungs. Or blasting out some raging techno.
Yeah, same. I feel like we're on the same level with the
I
techno.
Liked the one I gave you, but that was December, but I've just recycled it.
No, but you gave it to me in the summer.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
We'll
want
let
to
you
know
have it.
The workout
ambient
song.
Minimalist tank. Yeah. That was always good.
Have you heard of Yagya? My
yes,
albums.
No.
Yes.
Hey, you're not allowed to speak because you're a man.
Come on in.
Oh,
hello.
Hello.
He's been to
Lidl.
He's been to
Lidl.
Are we still in session?
Yeah, we're still
you're
on
air,
Jay.
You're on air.
Live.
Like
on
the
air.
Ice in the freezer, I'll just
oh, should we just fuck the quick fire
no,
round
no,
off?
No, 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 no. Finish it off.
Oh, but they're really late.
Why don't we
why don't we
say, like, our favourite thing about each other or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, okay, cool. To finish off.
Oh
yeah.
So cute.
God,
we've done a lot of, like, moany stuff. We've got it off our chest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, let's talk about what's great about each other. Why we ended up here anyway, because that was just mutual love and respect.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh, Rosanna.
It's all Ross's
all hail Rosanna!
Oh, Rosa.
Rosa. Yay! Well, I'm glad, because that's how I started the podcast. I was like, I don't have my one thing, but my one thing is like...
Now your one thing is podcast.
Now's my one fucking thing.
I know,
but,
one thing.
But getting people together.
Yeah!
And can I just say, so many people have so many ideas and so many... This is what I think you should be proud of for your moment, is that so many people have ideas and they just don't follow it through with consistency.
Yeah.
And that's with anything in life, whether it's just wanting to try something new or be better at something or just experiment. And if you're just consistent, things happen. So
And to be consistent, you actually have to make a commitment to it, which is what I consciously had to do with this. Because when I started, there's been so many things that I've wanted to do in the past, and then I've watched somebody less qualified, less knowledgeable.
There's a quote
but
about
with maybe,
that.
But with maybe like
yes,
a bit more
just, yeah.
technical skills that have like gone through the roof with it, and
I
it's just not a very nice feeling.
I mean, consistency has like been my word this year.
It's huge.
Yeah, trying to do stuff and being just keep doing it, and then you'll get better as well.
Yeah,
and don't give up.
Yeah, get out of your own way.
Yeah.
And that's people value one, that as well. When they know that you're going to do a certain thing at a certain frequency, they will like follow that pattern.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, I'm waiting for the next like podcast or whatever.
Yeah. It's a responsibility in a way.
It's been grand.
Oh, this has been great.
Yeah.
What a good idea, Larissa. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, no worries. Larissa. I do have good ideas. I'm working on getting out of my own way.
Yeah.
You'll hear from me.
I think we should... everybody just needs to meet up with people that are going to encourage them all the time.
Yeah.
Level surround up. Yourself level with non-arseholes.
Yeah.
They do say that, though. I've noticed that the more I surround myself with certain people, my vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Energy levels go up. All right. On that note,
All the best.
See you later.
All the best. Tune in next time. Listening.
Like, subscribe, share. Yeah. Like, subscribe, and share, rate, review, rate, comment, review, and word of mouth.
Comment, word of mouth.
Comment. Follow us all on Instagram.
Follow us all on Instagram, yes.
At Elsa Burns.
Yep.
Spell it because
E-A-I-L-S-A. I'm going to put all of our
Burns
things in the description box.
Put all of mine.
Do you vibrancy or Lally?
I know, it's fine to have my personal one. I maybe should explain to people, my personal one is me doing what the F I want, and vibrancy is me putting on workshops. So if you want to be entertained, Lally.
Follow both.
Yeah, follow both, actually, if you know what's good for you. True.
And your... Hannah Jane.
At Hannah Jane, Jayne _1990.
1990.
But you'll link them in there.
I'll put it all in. All right. Peace.
Yay.